Welcome to the RevOps Loop podcast with Martin and Stepan, brought to you by Digital Reach and the Nonprofit Tech Shop. Get ready to learn about revenue operations, HubSpot, and beer.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 already, the RevOps Loop. Our topic for today is kind of having a little bit of a retrospective moment. We're saying if you're starting out in marketing and RevOps today, what would you focus on? And I guess from our point of view, if we were 18 again or however young, what would we tell our younger selves in terms of where we should be focusing our efforts, what we should be digging into if we weren't wanting to start our careers in marketing and revenue operations right now? It goes without saying, landscape has changed quite a bit, and we're not even that old, Stefan, but even in those, 10-ish years, let's round it down a little bit, a lot has changed. I don't know about you, but at least for me, I don't think any of the tools and things that we were studying back in college were at all applied afterwards, let alone now. So a lot changes very quick, not even to mention AI, obviously, the big buzzword. So yeah, with all of that in mind, just wanted to look back and say, if we're starting now, where would we focus on? But maybe just real quick before that, that's kind of like a soft introduction. Stefan, maybe you can kick us off with that. What was sort of your introduction to marketing RevOps? What was sort of your angle, your way in, and what were your initial focus points, for better or for worse, whether they turn out to be the right ones or not?
So a lot of has changed in the last 10 years, and it's changing rapidly in the last year. So for me, I think I was just curious. I was I was doing project management. I was doing some side hustles on web development, WordPress stuff that was at that time a niche to have a template, do a site. But I wanted to learn more about how I can expand it. So then I was just curious, I was browsing through a lot of forums. At that time, not everybody had the newsletter. So you couldn't just subscribe. LinkedIn was not big at that time, I think, 10 years ago. You're just starting out. So I was just trying to find some good sites. And then I think my go-to was Amazon and books. I think that was my go-to. I need to learn about marketing. Let me buy a book. I need to learn about some sales and how it interacts, handoffs, whatever. I just tried to find a book and started from there, and I just continued. So, and then as the newsletters came, the whatever forums, Coursera, I just started there and trying to upskill myself, but then also trying to learn by doing stuff. And maybe just offering freelance stuff pro bono to some people that I know that need marketing and need some RevOps stuff back in the days. But that's just a quick intro on my end. But I'm curious.
More from a bit of a, I wouldn't say it's a dev background, but you were building websites initially, and then self-educating yourself, ordering books through Amazon, very old school.
Basically, I didn't build websites. I find a niche where I can just buy a template, and then I learned how to dissect it, the template, and then just build whatever somebody needed. Yeah. But I didn't enjoyed it because I was not so technical then. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to learn why are people spending dollars on ads and social. So one story is I was at an event where people are talking about Facebook ads. And I was very young at that time, but I already knew about Facebook ads, and that was just launching. And I said to one person, like, why are you spending so much like money on new like ads in newspapers, on radio? You can just have like $20 spent, and at that time you can reach a lot of people with $20 because not everybody's doing that. So then he was just like, I think a week after, he just called me and he said, like, I have like $1,000 a month, let's spend that. And from there, I think that's where I started to realize, like, okay, this is the future, and I need to learn as much as I can about it, and I need to learn more by testing, but also like trying to understand how can we improve the conversions and everything else. And from there, we went to ads, like Google ads, and then from there, it went like, okay, processes. So that's like how I came into that like RevOps marketing stuff. But interested like how you started.
Yeah, that RevOps marketing twilight zone that we're kind of in. Yeah, no, for me from a different angle, I came in more from a sales perspective. Like that was my first job from sales, and from sales, this was sort of like full funnel sales we had to do, meaning we had to do our prospecting and outreach and then closing, so kind of like a BDR AE hybrid role. And then I was very drawn to the whole prospecting side of things from a technical perspective, like scraping websites and then putting lead lists together and then putting formulas in Excel to score them based on things. And again, this is then also there were a lot of enrichment tools out there, but either very expensive and not as integrated as they are now. So a lot of this was built using custom scrapers that you would code yourself. And again, I say code very liberally here. It wasn't really coding. It's Googling of how do I get this thing to do that thing? And that was basically it. And so I'd pull a list and then, you know, I'd set up these little bots that would take a company name and run it through a specific website and then take that information and put it back into a sheet. And then I had my list anyway. So I was spending more time on that than actual selling, and then gradually moved more towards that side of the business, like helping the rest of the sales team put lists together and score their leads, etc. And then that way moving more into the whole RevOps marketing side of things. But I think one thing we agree on, and that probably hasn't changed at all, and it's definitely still the same advice that I would give to my younger self, is that whole curious side of things and just building stuff and doing stuff, and whether you get paid for it or not, just have little side projects where you experiment. And I know you and I are both doing this, building little apps on Lovable and Replit. Like, I think that's something that you never really want to stop doing anyway. But that's definitely something that I would do right away if I'm getting into marketing RevOps, is just set up a little campaign, set up a little app, not 100% relevant there, but start building something out. I know we had at one point, and this was through a school project, we had to set up a small social campaign for an actual company. So we had to go and find a company and we say, hey, we want to put a social post together and we want to track performance, something like that. But this was for a tiny company, for a tiny shop in our village. We did this. But okay, we set it up. It was like a little giveaway contest that we were setting up through their social media. 50, 60 people participated, and it was a winner and got some good publicity. They were happy. Not a huge deal. It was a small thing. But I remember at the time getting super excited of seeing those clicks come in and then form submissions. And then it just gives you that motivation to like, oh, I want to try this again. And then it's exactly then what we did. So after that school project, just, you know, went to a couple other shops and say, hey, we did this. Can we set up something for you? We'll design a nice little post. We'll do a little giveaway. You just need to, you know, submit a prize. It's fun. And then that gives you the motivation to keep going.
And that takes me back to, like, I don't know, like, we had, like, a class where you can, like, virtually purchase stocks when I was in college.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you get, like $1,000 and you can purchase stocks. You build your portfolio. And then at the end of the semester, whoever has the highest return – They don't need to like take the first exam or even do any seminars, whatever. So I think like taking that, that's a pretty good like motivation for somebody, even if they're building like an app, like a small app using Lovable. Like, why don't you like try to spend $100 like promoting it, like using Reddit ads, or just like simple social media ads on Instagram? You build a profile, you learn how to do it, you learn what you can do with it, how to segment it, maybe connect it to a like a free CRM, and try to somehow like do it as a little small side project. And I think that that's like what made me curious, like, okay, I can spend it and I get something back. I think that's like where the curious started for me.
You gotta make it and real, right?
You gotta make it real. Like, you just
as
be
small
invested.
As it is.
Like, yeah, be invested. Even if like you start a newsletter, like that's also something. Like, nowadays you can start a newsletter. There's like apps where it's free, but like, let's say you want to learn about how to promote that newsletter. You want to learn like when you get like a couple of subscribers, how do you segment those subscribers? How do you reach out to them? Like, and where to start if you're promoting a newsletter? Is it like cold outreach on LinkedIn? Maybe somebody that you know. So that all ties to being proactive, being curious. So I think I would suggest to anybody just like start it that way, and don't be afraid or like negative feedback or people ghosting you, because the worst it can happen is like you get no response. And you learn as you go. Like, you learn how to improve the messaging. That's one part of the marketing side. You learn how to reach to people at certain times, maybe certain days, and that like all ties together. And then like, once you're comfortable doing that, you can then, okay, let me automate something, because I cannot reach so many people at in my day, like my side hustle day or working day. So then let me find a tool that can help me automate, like with the like marketing emails, or maybe some other tools that can help help you. And that's how you learn. It's trial and error. There are like a couple of courses you can take. Like, there's a HubSpot Academy free courses on like digital course, or like marketing newsletters or social media. But I don't think, like, if you don't make it real, as you said, and you're just like looking at the theory or like taking the theory in,
you don't absorb it.
It will not work, because like, it's not that you're like, you are learning, but like, you, one thing is like learning, but one thing is doing. That's like my point there. So if you want to, like, if I'm starting out, I would just say like, go in it, and you will try. If you're in it, you will figure it out at some point. And then when everything clicks, you just build on top of that.
Staying curious, trying new things, making it real, right? Like, kind of making that bridge from theory to something, however small it may be, right? Whether it's sort of a mini small project. No, I think 100% on everything there. One other angle, and I think this is something that, at least in from on my side, I don't think I did enough of, being a bit harsh, like, but in the beginning, when I started, like, okay, that's something I should have focused a bit more on, is the people side of it. And so if you're trying to be good in marketing, you know, you're fresh out of the college, you got your degree, you know, your product marketing mix and everything. Yeah, you got your theory in order. You're ready to go into these platforms. One thing that I focus on a lot now, and probably would have focused on a bit more before, is deeply understanding the different roles that marketing touches. So sales is an obvious one, sales and marketing, right? But also, you know, products, developer teams, finance teams, right? Leadership teams, etc. Like, how all of their different views are on marketing, how they're impacted by it, what they are aiming to get out of it, so that you can then also not only set up your marketing strategies in a way that and that make the most sense. Like if you're working closely with product, you know the features that they're the most excited about. If you're then jumping in on sales calls, you're seeing the typical objections that sales are having. And if you're, again, working, I've had syncs with the finance team, which have been very revealing on sort of where we're actually seeing our revenue versus where we think we're seeing our revenue anyway. All of that helps shape your marketing campaigns. I really think so now. And I think that's something that I would, if I were to start out, do from the get-go, is just really understand how marketing affects all other teams. And the only way to do that is to just to, kind of building on our last point, be curious, jump in conversations and chats with different departments within your organization or outside, right? Just people, and understand their point of view, to then not only enhance the way you set up your marketing campaigns, but also how you can, how you sell it. So how you sell your work, how you sell your campaigns. I think now we know pretty well that if we're talking about our marketing campaign performance to a sales team versus a leadership team, we're telling two very different stories, right? We'll get very granular on the sales side and we'll talk about the different intent signals that we're collecting and how they can utilize this and da, 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 da. And leadership, obviously we keep it high level. We want ROI numbers. We want acquisition cost versus lifetime value. We want to show how the campaign is generating that. And I think these are things that it definitely helps you if early on you're kind of understanding how marketing or the role marketing plays in each of these different departments.
Yeah, and right? that's exactly the trial and error segment, because like nobody expects when you're starting out that you will know that you need to do that. Like you will just like have one vision, like this is the marketing, we do it that way, and you don't know the state, you don't know that you need to like change the angle for a different stakeholder. Like for a C-level, marketing is probably the first cost center that there is. Like if it's not generating anything at the beginning and there's like not a lot of volume, they cut it. For sales, you're just like somebody playing with the budget that they could probably spend hiring more sales and getting more leads or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like qualifying more leads. So I think that, yeah, it comes back to trial error, being curious, but also it's like understanding that it's not a end game. Like you don't stop when you think you're good. I would say like that's something that like makes you better than most of the people starting out. It's like, okay, I learned everything that I could learn and then that's it. Like, I would say your learning and not stopping to learn anything that is maybe correlated to your role or maybe it's just like amplifying it. I think that's very important. So even if you're a marketer, I was just like watching the Marketing on Grains by HubSpot, and they were saying like every marketer should vibe code. And I was like guessing like why should I marry every month, but they had a pretty good point because now a marketer can talk to GPT or Claude and ask it like what's like let me give you this and this and this and what's an angle that I'm not seeing, like what's the data that I'm not extracting from this that you as a in a role of a VP of marketing whatever you are seeing and I'm not. And can you help me improving this campaign using that data? So I think that's the reason why, like if you stop and if you're not thinking outside of the box, you will get stuck because it's, as we started, it's changing very, very fast. Yeah.
Kind of, I guess going from that, because like we talked a lot about sort of the soft skills, if you will, on what we recommend, like stay curious and try to make things real when you're implementing, but sort of practically, and some things that I'd definitely recommend. I mean, you kind of touched on it, is that what you can do now, and I've seen this, several people post about this on LinkedIn as well, where entire marketing teams can get replaced by one tech savvy, business savvy marketing person who can work well with AI tools, right? And this is where obviously the AI buzzword comes in, but it's 100% true that if you have the understanding of everything that we discussed, right? Like through curiosity, you understand how marketing really works within the broader organization, and you have enough technical knowledge, is not even the right word, just understanding really of, you know, you understand the concepts of how things work. You understand the concepts of putting a design together and a video ad together, what sort of the settings there should be. You have the concept of how reporting should look like. You have the concept of what attribution means and how different channels should be attributed revenue and all of that. If you understand enough of that, you don't have to be an expert in any of them. But you combine that with some tech savviness and you've played around with a bunch of these AI tools. You know, I know a couple of these people as well who are essentially one person marketing agencies, right? They're doing everything from creative to strategy to implementation to optimization, keyword audits, to revamping attribution models, etc. And I think from that point of view, one thing that I would definitely do if I was essentially starting in marketing RevOps now is get exactly to that point. That would make you immensely valuable, right? Like, gain that technical understanding. You only get that by playing around with these tools and experimenting, kind of like we said. And then in terms of the business savviness, like, understand the concepts of everything. Like, don't understand a CRM, but understand how CRMs work, right? There's different object types and they kind of link together. And then if you understand one, you'll understand all of them. And the same with a campaign build. Okay, you understand that there's, you know, there's campaign groups, and then within each group you'll have ad sets, etc. And again, this kind of translates to all channels roughly, right? So I would focus on doing that, getting that general understanding of different marketing concepts, and then constantly be playing around with technical tools to put that in place. Because I think if you, you know, it's already now the case, but in a couple of years, an AI savvy one-man marketing team, I feel like we're going to have a lot of companies that are going to be run that way. It just seems like the natural way to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think if you are an expert, if you are learning as everything progresses, you don't need to worry about, like, whatever, losing your job or staying in the role that you are currently in. What I think is just you need to stay on the path of making sure that you are upskilling all the time. And but we did start it with, like, if we are 18 again, or if you are starting out in marketing roles. So just so we don't scare anybody listening to this, I think you can do a couple of things. You can go to Reddit. You can ask around in a lot of subreddits that are, like, people looking to change jobs, change their roles, upskill. You can download or open an account on a free CRM tool and see how the CRM is set up. Learn about the architecture, maybe build something that where you store your leads from, I don't know, whatever, a newsletter, an app that we touch based. Maybe upgrade, paying a couple of dollars if you have it, to, like, have access to automation, or run a free trial to learn how to build the automation. Use the Academy. There are a lot of tools. Maybe touch based on, like, some enrichment tools that are now popular, just to see, like, okay, how they're built, what they can achieve. And then feed your notes, like, record it, like, a voice message to ChatGPT, like, I did this today, what else should I be doing? I want to upskill. Give me a plan of, like, in the next three months, what I need to do to like, be better at this position, like a marketing RevOps person that's not technical or is technical. Because what I see sometimes is, like, people reaching to me, like, I'm a developer, I can do whatever you want me in HubSpot or any other CRM, but I don't understand what a lifecycle stage is. I don't understand what a tofu, bofu, mofu is. Like, what's that? Like, I can build whatever you need me to, but I want to speak your language.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those people, if they're curious, they can easily, like, not easily, but like, they can progress in that, even if they understand the concepts. And with the skills, if they're technical, they can build some cool stuff, and they can support a larger team, like an enterprise team. But they just need to understand it from a perspective of the other department.
So that one, so, and yeah, that's one that for me sort of top of mind is really to combine that business savviness, and you only get that by experimenting, and then combining that with the with some technical know-how. And on that point, you kind of mentioned it, right? Sort of what I think was already important 10, 15 years ago, it's only going to be more and more important, is to keep that the curious mindset of it, meaning constantly be exploring the latest tools and softwares that are out there. I think I know we both dedicate, you know, a decent portion of time in just constantly trying out new tools that are there, whether they're good or not. But just to stay on top of everything. The reason I think it's even more important now is just because...
Let me quickly stop you there. I just want to, like,
okay,
pick your brain on that point. Is, okay, you mentioned need to be constantly curious, need to test tools that are, like, yeah, but, like, let's say you're just starting out, you're overwhelmed, and maybe, like, you're 3 months in, and you still need to have a mentality to test tools. Maybe you have a job that's like 10 hours a day. You have some other obligations. Like, how would you tell somebody or, like, motivate them to stay curious or stay testing that tools? Do they do it over weekend? Yeah. How do they continue to do that?
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Two things. So one, okay, how and where you do it obviously depends a little bit on your situation. If in your work you have a, you know, a bit of a flexible role, you're starting out as a junior growth marketer and you're able to play around with tools on the company dime, great. Otherwise, if it's in your free time. The main thing there, though, is that the reason I think it's so important is because the more you'll do it, the more efficient you'll get at it. And that in and of itself is a super valuable skill, especially nowadays with so many tools coming at you, right? Like you just said it, you Google any kind of tool. I'm looking for a tool that is able to, what is something we scoped out recently, send out gifts to companies. And we know a bunch of platforms like this exist, like these direct mailing companies. I want to review a few. Okay, you Google it, bomb, 50 different options there. Oh gosh, overwhelming. And that's just one very specific niche. If you're comfortable and you have that that habit of going into tools, playing around with them, and experimenting what is good and what is bad, you'll kind of build that muscle of quickly being able to evaluate where actual value is and where there isn't. And I think that's something that, again, I would start right away with, is just get your hands on everything. You'll get into this habit of being able to go into a tool and say, okay, I'm evaluating this CRM versus that CRM. If this is your first time evaluating CRMs, that's an overwhelming task. If this is the 20th and the 21st CRM you've had a look at, you know where to look. You're going to know what you're going to test. Okay, I'm going to try and associate this with this. And I think that is an important skill to have that you only get.
That's like when we are now evaluating a tool, I think I can pretty much open a couple of tools, skim what they're offering, maybe look at a couple of reviews, maybe go to the marketplace, like if it's a CRM marketplace that you can. And then I think, like, just glancing, I can say, okay, out of 10, I just need to focus on those three. Because I think the other seven are just, like, over delivering on their, like, value prop. And even if the reviews are good, I think maybe there are a couple of them are fake, or a couple of them don't make sense, or people are not using the tool that we needed to use it, like advanced. So I'm 100% agreeing on, like, just like
because that
five
that's a skill.
10, yeah, that's a skill. That's a skill that
companies would pay for, where they would say like, okay, you know, I need someone to tell me what I need and what I don't need, because everyone knows they can fall victim to that whole shiny object syndrome, especially now. Every tool sounds like it's AI powered and will make everything easy, blah blah blah, and it's so hard to make sense of it. That I know of many cases where folks have just looped someone in, and these are smaller projects, but where, hey, I just need someone on board for a week to help us make sense of what tool we need. I have a very specific niche use case, and then okay, then they pull someone in who's had experience looking at these tools, not necessarily an expert in any one of these platforms, but just someone with the know-how of what to look for and what to ignore. It's like, okay, ignore these five, they sound great, but it's just AI BS kind of stuff, versus
yeah.
These two, they actually have actual value. So yeah, I think that's where the
human element that you also need to learn as somebody just starting out in this like niche is like very important. It's like you need to learn how to talk with like the people you're working with. I think that's also a very crucial skill. So don't focus on like your like power of understanding the marketing concepts, RevOps concepts, understanding the technology, the APIs, the build and everything. But like if you cannot persuade somebody or talk to them to get your point across, so you implement that or you go that path, it will not be efficient. You will always have like battles to pass out. And I know you mentioned you said learn to debug humans, not just systems. So when we talked, so like what's your point there? Like how do you approach that? Like from somebody starting out, like what's crucial there?
So that's to that earlier point of I say debug because that's sort of the RevOps talking word. There's always an issue and you need to find the bug, but I guess what it comes down to is understanding people and their roles and their views on a business. Because I think if you come in from a marketing angle, or in your case, you're setting up websites, me, I'm coming from sales, but you come in with a specific angle of how you're looking at a business and marketing, in order to understand marketing as a whole, you need to see how different roles are looking at it. And so the only way to do that is by getting in conversations, jumping on sales calls, shadowing developers, chatting with folks in the finance team, but really going out of your way to talk to different departments, see what's living there. And it doesn't have to be an interview style, and not like, how can marketing help you? No, just see that what their day-to-day is and how top of mind is marketing, if at all. And then if it is, when does it come up and when is it relevant for them? And where are there opportunities that you could actually help them with through your marketing campaign? So I think on that one, that's not even really marketing specific. That's just a general, starting out in any organization, I would say chat to all departments, make sure you understand how everyone is looking at the business, what their concerns are, what keeps them up at night, and then see how your job can and does affect that, right? So I think that's more of a general approach than anything
else. Especially when you're like just starting out, nobody is expecting from you to like make a decision, a crucial one. Nobody is expecting to you to build out a strategy. So like if you're just starting out, like I would say be a fly on the wall, but be a fly on the wall even if it's not your role related. So like if you can ask and jump or maybe re-listen to Fireflies or whatever note taker, and maybe you take some notes out of it, how people talk, how they address the topic, how they present the problem, how they present the solution. I think that is the most beneficial thing you can do when you're starting out. Like, just like be everywhere and take even if you take one sentence out of the like 2 hour call, you will always remember that sentence and how somebody addressed it. Maybe an angry stakeholder, maybe they addressed the C-level person that was like not seeing the results, but they were not seeing it because it was not presented well. And then somebody jumped in and say, okay, let's take it back. Let's just change a filter on this little table and let's go from there. So I think that's the, that's my suggestion to like wrap up, like how somebody can jump in, not just in marketing reps role, but like in any role, just like be present as much as you can. And I think work when you're not paid to work, like on weekends, if you're younger and you don't have so much things going on, have a social life, but like try to add more because you will progress faster. That's my closing. I don't know.
I love it.
But like what's your, to close it out before we rate our beers, like what would you tell to somebody
that's
starting out? A couple of sentences.
Yeah, we'll just wrap it up with everything that we said. It's be curious, and that's not just when you're starting out, but keep that. It's going to only become more and more important as you know the marketplace gets more and more diversified. Stay curious, like you know, force yourself to figure out what's new and what's happening. Make things real, right? When you're testing things out and you're trying different things, try and make them real. Be like, hey, put $50 in a marketing campaign and see if you're able to, you know, get people to whatever website it is you built. You know, build out a newsletter, like however small it may be. But those are the biggest learning experiences. There's the focus on the AI side of things, and more specifically, like learn how AI and systems as a whole work, not just tools and platforms, but like systems. So you really understand what role all these tools play. So you become very adaptable, right? Tools are going to change faster and faster. So to be able to keep up with them, if you're going to be becoming an expert in every new tool every year, that's going to be a full-time job in and of itself. But like make yourself understand systems, how CRMs and AI agents and marketing campaigns and marketing platforms and audiences work together. Get a solid understanding of that. So I think, I think we kind of covered the outline of what we'd. We focus
and,
on.
And if you're listening to this, like maybe this Friday or in a couple of years, just shoot us a DM, LinkedIn or anywhere else if you're just starting out. And I think, Martin, you will be happy to chat with anybody and help them. And I think I will be, because I think everybody should help each other. We are all like here to learn from each other. So I think that like, don't be scared to reach out. Even if you see somebody else that is like in the role that you are imagining yourself to be in a couple of years, maybe reach out to them and say like, can I learn from you? What can I do to help you save your time? I'm here, I want to learn. I think that's the best way to progress in any
exactly.
Any
role.
Yeah.
Be curious. Okay, it's not just about tools, but people. Reach out. You know, force yourself out of that.
And it's never easier to reach out because we all have email, we all have WhatsApp, we all have our social presence, and you can always reach out. And you never know who will respond. But yeah, let's rate our beers for this Friday. Over to you, Michael.
I'll kick things off. Okay, so my beer that I'm reviewing / drinking at the moment is Triple Down Vest. I don't really have much of a story about this one, to be honest. I don't know much about it. I didn't Google it, so I didn't want to make stuff up. It's a known beer back in Antwerp, sort of my somewhat hometown from near there. Strong beer, 8%. It's usually, you know, you'll have one, max two. That usually about does it. Very smooth, strong blonde, but very smooth beer. I would recommend it. If you're into Belgian beers, you'll like it. It has that typical, in my opinion, typical Belgian beer flavor to it. And it's just a nice local Antwerp beer that I'd recommend. So Triple Down Vest, that's the one of the week for me.
Okay. Sounds great. Mine is And I have it here also. It's a Imperial Salted Caramel and Chocolate Biscuit Stout. It's by a local brewery. It's a Croatian brewery, Garden Brewery. I mentioned it, I think, on the first podcast. It's 8.1. I just had a sip. It's pretty good. It's smooth. I think it's good for, like, if it's like cold weather or maybe some kind of like dark meat. I will finish it after this, and I think it's enough. It's a pretty strong beer, and it's full. So
chocolate flavor.
Don't have a rating for it, but I would say I'll drink it again. It's not bad, and it's not so like
sugary. That's a rating in and of itself. Would yeah. Drink again. There you go. You know, it's
yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about these chocolatey and hazelnutty beers. It's an acquired taste, but yeah.
It's anyway, not for cool. Everyone. Yeah, it's not for everyone.
But yeah. No, good. We chatted through a lot today. It was interesting. Stefan, any closing words? And otherwise, we'll see you. We'll see each other again soon. But we'll talk again next week.